If you think the repertoire for the harpsichord ended in the Baroque period, well, you haven't heard Jane Chapman. Yes, she plays Handel and Bach, but also John Cage and Gheorghe Ligeti. A number of contemporary composers have written pieces especially for her. Ms. Chapman is professor of the harpsichord at the Royal College of Music, and she's in New York now as the featured artist in the next concert in Merkin Concert Hall's Pianoply. I left out the piano there. It's this Thursday at 8, and it is my great pleasure to welcome Jane Chapman to the show. Hello.
Hello there.
When was the harpsichord invented?
Well, the harpsichord's an amazing instrument because it came from all sorts of different sources, but really the main part of its sort of history was really about the 17th and 18th century. So you could think of composers like Bach, Handel, as you mentioned, and even earlier composers, what we call the Elizabethan Virginists, for instance, like Byrd and Gibbons. So it was very popular even in the time of Queen Elizabeth, for instance.
So it's Renaissance.
A Renaissance, and then well into the Baroque, and a bit beyond.
And was the clavichord invented around the same time?
Around the same time, and a much quieter, more delicate instrument. But the harpsichord really is what became the kind of queen of instruments.
Because you could hear it better.
Well, you could hear it better. They were often extremely elaborate, very beautifully designed, often showing off the latest fashions in design and art as well.
And how did it wind up losing out to the piano?
I think people were looking for different things in music. And I think what I really like about the contemporary repertoire I have is that it's put that to rights. The piano, I suppose, has other things that the harpsichord doesn't have. For instance, a variety of dynamics, which you get through playing louder or softer. Well, the harpsichord, basically, you just play the notes and the notes pluck the strings and you get this wonderful, vibrant, vivacious sound.
The piano, to some degree, merges the clavichord with the harpsichord.
That's a very clever thought, yes, because the clavichord is struck from underneath, and as you know, the piano is also struck, the actual hammers
hit
the keys. So the harpsichord is very much a stringed instrument. It's plucked.
It had feathers.
Little quills, which are inside the jacks, which are the plucking devices, which pluck to the strings, so you get this beautiful, lovely, silvery sound.
Although some people might call it tinier, piano.
Well, it's a different sound. I just think there's no point in comparing the two. It's got a different repertoire.
Are people still making harpsichords?
Yes, very much so. And I think what's very interesting is that with all the interest now in contemporary music, people are thinking of making instruments which reflect that as well.
So do we have the same kind of concerns that we have with a violin, for example? Are there Stradivarius equivalents in the harpsichord, and then others who say, no, I like the modern instrument
better. Yes, it's very interesting because what people tend to do is to copy old instruments. So you might copy a lovely French Tascan instrument from the 18th century, or you might copy an English instrument from perhaps slightly later, or maybe a smaller Italian instrument. There was invented sort of a few years ago, well, at the beginning of the last century or middle of last century, a kind of modern harpsichord with pedals, which changed all the different kinds of sounds of the instrument. But funnily enough, that's gone out of fashion now. And because of the interest in early music, people have actually created an instrument which is more appropriate.
Was the harpsichord revived to some degree, along with the viola da gamba and
Absolutely.
Other old instruments, because of the period instrument movement?
Yes, during the 70s and 80s, that became a really, really big thing.
And is that what happened with you? Were you originally attracted because you wanted to play Bach and Scarlatti?
Absolutely, and because I just love the sound of the instrument so much. It really appealed to me.
Bach's Goldberg variations are really important to the history of the harpsichord.
That's right, yes. Yes. I'm in fact going to be performing his inventions and symphonias, which are actually very beautiful, smaller pieces, which are very rarely performed in concert, actually.
But he wrote the Goldbergs for the double manual
That's
harpsichord.
That's right, which I shall be playing. I shall be playing a double manual instrument.
Now, what is the difference between a double manual? Is that like the organ where you have two separate keyboards?
Absolutely. You have two separate keyboards, which means that you can play, they have slightly different timbres or different sounds, and it means that you can also, for instance, when I'm playing contemporary music, I can play very quickly between the two manuals and make very, very fast sounds, such as in Ligeti's Continuum, which I'm looking forward to playing.
And actually, we're going to go out with a little bit from Continuum.
Right, wonderful.
So people will get a taste of what that's all about. Where is Bach's harpsichord today?
Bach's harpsichord, well, it's he had various instruments, and one of his instruments was possibly a Mika harpsichord. I think, I'm not sure actually, but there are copies of it made, and I'm sure there must be probably in Germany somewhere.
Because I would think that playing an instrument like that would give an insight into how
absolutely.
He was thinking. Each instrument has its own special
That's
personality.
That's absolutely right. And particularly a German harpsichord of that kind, Austro-German harpsichord, has a very even sound throughout. So when you're playing contrapuntal music, it suits the nature of the music very well.
When you hear that music adapted to the piano, I'm sure you hear all sorts of things that are missing or
very interesting.
That are lost.
It's not lost. What the piano does is it throws out other things, which means you have to think, my goodness, this is how I play it on the harpsichord. If I'm going to play it on the piano, I have to make certain adaptions or I have to take into consideration what the piano sounds like. So it works on the piano, but you have to think about it in a different kind of way.
Did composers continue to write for the harpsichord after the 18th century?
There were a few, but really it only became sort of popular again at the beginning of the 20th century with the revival, the first early music revival, where I mentioned this particular kind of hybrid instrument was invented.
It's interesting that some composers seem to gravitate toward it, not others. For example, the minimalists who are like Philip Glass and Steve Reich and John Adams, I would have thought would
Philip Glass has written a harpsichord concerto.
Oh, he has.
Recently, yes, which I would love to play. And it's a great piece. So, and in fact, minimalist music suits the harpsichord very well because it's got this lovely bright sound. And again, these two keyboards where you can oscillate, as it were, between different notes. So I think minimalist music sounds fantastic on the harpsichord. In fact, one of the pieces I'm playing is a minimalist piece by Andrew Poppy and really, really makes great use of those kind of patterns and sounds.
My guest is Jane Chapman, who will be performing as part of the Merkin Concert Hall's Piano Please series this Thursday at 8 at Merkin Concert Hall in the Kaufman Center. A wide range of pieces going back to the Baroque,
yes.
All the way to pieces that you'll be premiering?
Yes. What I'm really keen about is that the idea behind the concert is to have something which is a reinvention of the old, as indeed the Merkin Concert Hall has just been restored and is looking very beautiful. The Bach is the kind of anchor point throughout the whole concert. These inventions and symphonias, which are beautiful short pieces, all of different characters, all very diverse. And then against that, I've juxtaposed a wide variety of contemporary pieces, all, again, quite short. So I've put in the sort of little sets of pieces which complement each other very well. Lots of different styles.
You mentioned that you like the Merkin. I would assume that the harpsichord doesn't sound as well as it might in some venues. Some places are better than others.
Yes,
because this is such an odd
instrument.
The Merkin's
a nice intimate space, and I think the harpsichord should come across very well there.
Are you one of the few people who are commissioning new pieces?
There are quite a few. I suppose I can think of a handful in Europe and quite a few people in America who write pieces for the harpsichord and harpsichordists too. But I suppose there's not as many as one would have hoped.
Well, I'm sure most of them are trained on the piano, and
yes.
I wonder whether the approach of the harpsichord has been influenced by the dominance of the piano since the 18th century.
Well, I think what composers find interesting about writing for the harpsichord is that it's not the piano. And so every instrument has its own kind of history, and indeed the piano does too. There's a kind of baggage of stuff there which composers feel kind of weighing upon them. And I feel now that the harpsichord has gone that step further. Even though people associate it with the past, the nature of the sound is something which inspires composers of today. So they write in different kinds of ways for it, which is absolutely fascinating for me.
And we're talking about a wide range of composers?
Yes, I'm playing...
Are there any serial pieces for the harpsichord?
I'm playing a piece which is a little bit like that. This new complexity, which is a kind of serialism, you could argue, by a composer called Roger Redgate. Very, very beautiful couple of miniatures, which use an interesting kind of tonality. I wouldn't say it's serialism, but it comes from that kind of school. Very, very beautiful, delicate textures, very sweet gestures, really, beautiful musical gestures, which again present the harpsichord in a different sort of way.
Do you play one of those vintage harpsichords with all the inlays?
Yes, I got a lovely copy of a French harpsichord from the 18th century. Mine's just, it's got some gold leaf on it, and I have actually a plain lid because often I project videos onto the lid, so it's quite interesting to have a plain lid inside.
You're also a professor of harpsichord. That means that you get a range of students,
yes,
I'm sure.
I do.
Are most of them already playing the harpsichord when
yes,
they come
they
to
are.
You?
Yes, they are. I teach at the Royal College of Music in London, and they're all very high standard there. I teach quite advanced students there, obviously, who already kind of graduated from elsewhere. And also I teach young people, which I'm very keen to do. So I teach people who are from the age of 12 upwards as well.
This is a rarity. There aren't too many older instruments that are enjoying this kind of Renaissance. I mean, there are people who play viola da gamba
That's right,
but nothing like the harpsichord.
I think it's because the harpsichord has a huge potential, partly because it's a keyboard. It is so versatile. There's so many notes on it. There's so much you can do
with
it.
How many notes? Not the 88.
It's got five octaves, however many that is. 12 in an octave. You can work that out.
Wow, 70.
Wow, that's quick.
I'm not sure it's right.
60.
Anyway,
60.
Well,
it's got five
octaves.
And I think this one, Merkin, has an extra note, a G, which I'm going to use.
So some pieces are written for the 61?
Yeah, some pieces are written basically from F to F, and the Merkin one goes up to G. And there's a particular piece I thought, great, I'm going to play that note G because it will work in this particular piece. So that will be fun.
Now, when pieces are commissioned, when you've commissioned pieces, do you collaborate with the composers?
Very much so. Well, it depends. I obviously introduce the composer to the instrument and try not to say too much because I don't want to influence what they're going to write. But I collaborate with a lot of different kinds of musicians, with various jazz musicians and people who write live electronics or whatever, create sort of sounds which I can use with the harpsichord. But generally, I make sure that the composer is very familiar with the instrument and can realize what its potentials are.
Well, I would assume that the harpsichord would lend itself to rock music,
to
jazz.
Yes, it's got a tremendous bass. And, of course, you can amplify it, which I often do, so you can be as loud as you want. I mean, I played in power stations. I've played in all kinds of different venues and clubs. So whatever you want, you can do with it, really.
The concert, as I said, is at 8 o'clock this coming Thursday, and listeners can find out more about it, get details about tickets on our show page at WNYC.org. Have you played as part of the series in the past?
No, this is my first time playing in New York, and so I'm really pleased to be invited. It's going to be a great opportunity.
Well, I'm so pleased that you were able to come here and you were able to come on this show. And we're going to go out with a piece from Gheorghe Ligeti, Continuum. Now, you didn't commission this one,
No, this
did
is
you?
Written in 1968, that wonderful year. I think what you'll hear in this piece is a fantastic oscillation, as I like to call it, between the two hands, playing really, really quickly, making a kind of ghostly sound.
And this is something that he must have known. He only could have done if he understood the
yes,
harpsichord. Because that has been a problem in some cases where composers write for an instrument without really understanding
absolutely.
The instrument.
He's
the poor
really
musicians
got,
have to make
got,
up for it.
Got to the essence of the instrument in this piece.
Well, thank you again, Jane Chapman, who, as I said, will be at Merkin Concert Hall this Thursday at 8 o'clock as part of the Piano Plea series. And here is Gheorghe Ligeti's Continuum.